1601, Ethicon LLC against Intuitive Surgical Incorporated. Mr. Barris.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. McGinnis reference is not analogous art to the 287 patent. An inventor of the 287 patent, a minimally invasive surgical instrument, would not have looked to a motor intended to power an electric automobile in designing the invention. McGinnis.
What about the factual finding that the problem that the reference was seeking to solve is the problem, one of the problems, that the inventor was focusing on?
So the board found that the inventor was focusing on two problems, or two related problems. One, preventing a sudden jerking start of the motor, and preventing the gyroscopic effects of the motor from affecting the user's control of the handle of the device. McGinnis doesn't address either of those two problems. McGinnis is directed at a car motor, is directed at helping a motor achieve high torque at high speeds to allow the motor to overcome a car, to allow the car to overcome another while climbing a hill or passing a vehicle. Those aren't problems that an endocutter faces. Those aren't problems that the inventors of the 287 patent faced. Those are not reasonably pertinent to the inquiry or to the path of the inventors of the 287
patent. Only because you view the problems that are being confronted by McGinnis as being different from the problem confronted by the inventor.
That's correct, Your Honor, and I think that's clear from the face of the McGinnis reference itself. McGinnis reference at 1535 talks about the problem it was concerned about was achieving high torque at high speeds, so a motor could, among other things, help a vehicle climb a hill or pass another car. The language that Intuitive has pointed to, it's at 1537, about preventing a high inrush of current, is not the problem that is discussed in the 287 patent. It's not discussed in any of the invention disclosures. That was not a problem that the 287 inventors were concerned about. So there's a complete disconnect between the problems that the 287 patent was concerned about and the problems that McGinnis was concerned about, and therefore it's not reasonably pertinent to what an inventor was trying to do. And it's important to focus on the reasons that would have motivated or that would have concerned the inventor, because the purpose of the analogous art inquiry is to put yourself in the shoes of the inventor and what would have been, you know, approximating the reality of what they would have considered and turned to solving their problem. Nothing in the 287 patent suggests that McGinnis would have been a logical place to turn to for answers to any of those questions. Not to turn to the answer of how to overcome mechanical lockout, which is the primary concern that the 287 inventors tried to achieve, or to deal with the gyroscopic effects on the handle of the device that affected user control or user fatigue. McGinnis was not concerned with any of that. McGinnis was not concerned about, you know, driver fatigue or driver control.
Do you think McGinnis was concerned with preventing a high inrush of current when the motor started?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I said, why do you think McGinnis was concerned with preventing a high inrush of current when the motor was started?
Sure.
What was their reason for it?
Well, McGinnis doesn't say what the reason is, but one reason that that it might have been, right, is to prevent a current surge when the motor is started. The 287 patent wasn't concerned with preventing a current surge when the motor was started. That wasn't an issue that they confronted. It wasn't an issue that endocutters confronted. It wasn't something that anything in the record supports as demonstrating that. Now, Intuitive on appeal has tried to link inrush of current problem with those problems that were found by the board with respect to the gyroscopic effects and user control and fatigue. But that's
sudden jerking start. A high inrush of current.
Well, Your Honor, I think the point is that the sudden jerking start being connected to inrush of current is not a link that McGinnis draws. McGinnis doesn't draw that link, and that's important because...
So your view, is there any evidence at all that links them, for example, expert testimony?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Is there any evidence at all in the record that links those two things, the inrush of current and the jerking start, including, for example, is there any expert testimony?
The expert testimony on that issue is solely from their expert, but it
is... There is testimony.
But it's in the context.
Remember, our standard of review is there evidence to support the fact-finding by the board, right? Is there substantial evidence? It's a pretty low standard.
Correct, Your Honor, but I agree, but the inquiry here is what does McGinnis say? Because...
No, but we've got an expert who's talking about how a person of ordinary skill in the art would understand the references and what they would learn from those references, right? So we need to, if the board relied on that, that's part of the record evidence as well, right?
Sure. So I would direct Your Honor to appendix page, one moment, Your Honor, because I think we're all talking about pages 35 to 36 of the board's decision. And if you look at appendix page 2567, that's the expert testimony that the board relied on. Now, it's important to understand that this testimony was coming in the context of the motivation to combine analysis, which is a different inquiry from the analogous art inquiry. Because the analogous art inquiry is about what an inventor would have thought was pertinent to solving the problem. The motivation to combine inquiry presumes that the inventor already has access and already looked at the McGinnis reference. And the testimony there was that in an endocutter, a high inrush of current could cause various problems. But that's presuming that the POSA is already aware of the McGinnis reference. Now, we say for many reasons that...
Is it your view that when we look at that test of what is the problem that McGinnis is directed to, or what is the problem that it's seeking to solve, that we're not supposed to look at it from the point of view of a POSA and how a POSA would understand the reference?
The primary concern is what was motivating the inventor of the 287 patent, and then what would a POSA look to trying to solve those particular problems? Now, the 287 patent isn't concerned with the inrush of current problem. So that's number one. Number two, even if we were to assume, right, that McGinnis is analogous and McGinnis would address the inrush of current problems to the extent that was something motivating the inventors, they wouldn't have a reason to combine it with the Swayze reference. And the reason is Swayze already prevents the inrush of current, a high inrush of current. It has a resistor; it's element 110 in the specification, and it already prevents any high inrush of current. So there wouldn't have been a motivation to combine it anyway. And if you look, for example, at the reasons the board gave for
is this
putting
where
that aside,
it has the trigger. You know, you can I guess adjust how the trigger is working.
That's something that our adversaries had argued. It's not something the board found. What the board found was that there were other benefits to a soft start, and the benefits it pointed to are the same things we've been talking about, better control, preventing injury and fatigue. Intuitive in their brief, it's at page 35 of their brief, they can see that the underlying cause of those problems is the high inrush of current. So solving the high inrush of current problem, as Swayze's resistor already does, already takes care of all of those issues. So there'd be no reason and no additional benefit and no additional motivation to combine that reference with McGinnis to achieve that result. And so I think from a substantial evidence point of view, there's nothing else that the board found that would have supported the combination other than things that...
How does Swayze take care of the problem?
So Swayze has a resistor that eliminates the high inrush of current when the circuit is connected.
Well, wait a second. Isn't the amount of current that's coming through correspond to the amount that the trigger's been pulled?
It can, Your Honor.
That so?
Well, that,
I mean, when the current is initiated by pulling the trigger.
Correct. Right? So
if you pull the trigger back all the way, all the current would go through.
Well, there's no evidence that that's the case, Your Honor, and that's important.
Well,
because,
that's what I'm asking you. I mean, basically, the problem is we don't know in this respect what Swayze teaches, because the board didn't tell us, right?
Well, the board didn't answer this question, you're right, Your Honor. And there's no evidence that pulling the trigger all the way would remove all the resistance. In fact, there's a bias spring in the structure that we think would prevent that. The board didn't reach that issue. The board didn't decide that. That wasn't something the board went off on. Instead, the board said that there are other benefits to the soft start. But again, the ones that the board actually found are ones that the resistor
The power is ramped up in one way in Swayze and ramped up another way in Kastner.
Correct.
And the board relies on Kastner.
Well, the board...
It's being different because Kastner ramps up at a known rate, so there isn't any variation depending on how much the trigger is pulled.
I assume that's correct, Your Honor, but the basis for the obviousness here is McGinnis, and McGinnis does it differently with a soft start mechanism, and the showing that we made was that the benefits of that soft start that the board found and that the board was talking about, again, is the user control, fatigue, and injury. Those are all things that the resistor already solves. So the board didn't identify...
And isn't the board relying on, and the testimony relying on Kastner for a reason why you would combine McGinnis and Swayze?
I believe the board relied on Kastner, and this is at 38 of the opinion, just for the point that we were discussing earlier, that endocutters can experience a high inrush of current. Now, we think that's not supported.
Don't they rely on Kastner as disclosing a soft starting can be useful in handheld power tools to minimize fatigue, potential injury, and allow greater control of the tool?
You do, Your Honor. But again, like we said, the resistor in Swayze solves those problems already. So there would have been no reason.
Kastner doesn't matter because Swayze already solves those problems that Kastner is talking about.
That's correct, Your Honor.
What does it mean when Kastner says they ramp the motor up at a known rate?
Well, I don't think there's testimony about what that refers to, Your Honor. I think I would just say that's what the reference says. But I think the important point, again, is that the benefits that even Kastner identifies, which is the same that the board
found.
Right, but
when you keep telling us that the benefits are already solved by Swayze, but I don't have any fact-finding to that effect.
Well,
the same argument that you're making against Kastner doesn't it take away what you're saying about Swayze?
So I'll point, Your Honor, to two things. Number one is what the board found, which was the benefits. And number two,
What did you say the board found?
The board finding that the benefits of the soft start are the user fatigue, the same things that Kastner talks about, right? But then I'll point you to the red brief, where Intuitive concedes that the underlying problem of each of those issues is the high inrush of current. And that's solved by the resistor in Swayze. There's no real debate about that. There's an argument that, well, there's another embodiment with an on-off switch that would take care of that. But that's not the embodiment they propose as part of the combination. So, Your Honor, I see that I'm reaching into my rebuttal time. I just wanted to briefly mention there's an alternative ground for affirmance that Intuitive has raised. We think in our papers, we explain why we don't think either of that's appropriate here for the court to reach it, or even that the question is presented. I'm happy to address questions Your Honors have about that, or I can address it again on rebuttal.
Okay. Now we'll save your rebuttal time, and let's hear from the other side.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the court. Substantial evidence clearly supports the findings that McGinnis solves a motor control problem. Substantial evidence clearly supports the board's finding that there would be a motivation to combine Swayze and McGinnis. And the board's analysis is well reasoned, and therefore, this case should be affirmed. Now, if we look at McGinnis, it describes solving a high inrush current, which is conventional in the art. And as our expert testified, the 287 patent is addressed to the same problem. Now, the 287 patent uses slightly different words. The 287 patent says that the sudden jerking start is caused by allowing the motor to exert full load immediately. A motor exerts full load immediately when you have a high inrush of current. They are the same thing. And that is why, of course, as the board found, McGinnis is addressed to the same problem. Now,
and that's also supported by expert testimony.
It is supported, Your Honor. The board, in its decision, I think on page 36, appendix 36, says, starting at the bottom of 35, evidence of the record suggests that limiting the motor's ability to exert full load immediately is, after all, as petitioner asserts, a problem faced by the inventors of the 287 patent, and then it points to petition at 22. The petition 22 makes statements that are fully supported by Dr. Fisher at paragraph 71. So I'll direct you to Dr. Fisher, paragraph 71, which is at appendix 1319, Your Honor. Appendix 1319. And there, so there's the evidence on which the analogous argument largely turns. I mean, there's additional Kastner and the other evidence, but I submit appendix page 1319 is enough to sustain and affirm this case. There, Dr. Fisher says that Posida, having considered, oh, excuse me, back up. It says, Dr. says, indeed, faced with the problem of limiting the motor's ability to exert full load immediately, which is the quote from the 287 patent, Posida would have considered the solutions of others facing the same problem, such as McGinnis, which describes the solution as conventional in the art of controlling DC electric motors. So that's substantial evidence on which to support this finding. Our expert is clearly saying the high inrush of current is what causes a motor to spin at maximum load immediately, which is what causes the sudden jerking start. One thing counsel said is that for a patent owner is that McGinnis doesn't have a sudden jerking start problem. I mean, there's no evidence in the record, and it's contrary to common sense. Right, you have a soft start circuit, so the motor doesn't start hard. I don't know if any of you have been on the older Amtrak trains, right? When they turn the motors on suddenly, the train jerks forward, as opposed to if they do a very slow, gradual start, where it's nice and smooth for all the passengers. And so, of course, in McGinnis, if it didn't have its soft start circuit, it would have a sudden jerking start because the motor would be driven at full load immediately.
Do you want to address the motivation to combine, the specific point that your adversary was making about how the problem that Swayze already solves the problem that Kastner is purported to identify, and so there's no need to modify Swayze in view of McInnes?
Right, absolutely, Your Honor. And as Judge Clevenger was discussing with my learning counsel on the other side, it is not a resistor in line with the circuit. It is a variable. First of all, there are two embodiments. So I want to be very clear. We can win simply on the embodiment that doesn't use resistor.
110 resistor 110?
Yes. We win because 110 might not be a resistor at all. It may be a switch. And we win. But if we take even the resistor embodiment, we win under that too. Because the resistor is a variable resistor that is controlled by the surgeon's hand pulling the handle. Now, there's a question, is there any evidence of the range of resistance of that resistor? And there is evidence in the record. It's in Swayze itself. So if you turn to Swayze at, bear with me, I had it here a second ago, where it discusses I'll have to find it. Maybe, Ryan, you can help me out here. Swayze discusses how the handle works and how you pull it forward and it increases the, or it decreases the resistance as you pull it forward. Pulling the trigger.
Yeah.
And what Swayze says is the trigger goes from something to maximum. And that's what I'm looking for, where it mentions maximum. At appendix 1522, Your Honor. It's 1523.
Yeah, it's top of the left-hand column.
Right, and so because it goes to maximum, Your Honors, maximum means no resistance, right? If the motor's at maximum, there's no resistance in the way. That's how you get to maximum. And so the idea here is, and as Dr. Fisher testifies, if the surgeon were to pull the handle completely and very quickly, there is no resistance. He's just, it's like mimicking an on-off switch.
How do you respond to the argument that this is not the rationale that the board relied on?
Okay. The answer is that, Your Honor, what the board recognized is that Swayze does not have a soft start circuit. We said Swayze does not have a soft start circuit, but that's taught all over the prior art. We're going to rely on McGinnis.
Okay, so why doesn't Swayze have a soft start mechanism?
Okay, so, well, the answer is because it's not there. I mean, just,
well,
there is
none. They have one in the form of a user who can be very, very careful, like the engineer who fires the engine up on the train.
Okay,
because if you pull the trigger very, very gently, you will have a soft start. But that's dependent upon the person who's doing it.
Exactly.
Whereby Kastner talks about doing it where the software, if you will, is built into the circuitry, so it doesn't depend upon the trigger puller, it's dependent on the just turning the machine on.
Exactly, Your Honor. So to the extent that it is...
Isn't Judge Clevenger doing a little fact-finding here?
No, Your Honor. And I'll tell you why in a second. But let me hold that in suspense for a moment. You are exactly correct, Your Honor, that a surgeon, in theory, possibly with great training, could possibly make its trigger mimic a soft start, perhaps, possibly, maybe once in a while. Obviously, there's a benefit to actually sticking a soft start circuit in. That's the answer, Judge Stoll. But we don't need to make that fact finding because they've already admitted that Swayze doesn't have a soft start circuit. And that's
that?
The key. What the board said is, patent owner, I hear you talking.
Can you give us page numbers where you're pointing to for this part? It's really important. So if you have a page number in the board's decision that you're relying on for the fact finding, I would like to know where it is.
Absolutely, Your Honor. So the board, in discussing this section, says that, you know, patent owner argues...
What page are we talking about?
I'm sorry. Appendix 37, Your Honor.
37.
Appendix 37, first full paragraph. And the board states the patent owner also argues an ordinary skilled artisan would not have combined it because Swayze circuit already prevents the high inrush current. The parties dispute this issue. Then the board says, it is undisputed, however, that Swayze's mechanism the patent owner refers to is not a soft start mechanism. And now so they've conceded the point. It's not a soft start mechanism. And the reason they conceded that point before the board is because if Swayze had a soft start and therefore did not need McGinnis, it would anticipate. We would have won on anticipation. We had to go to McGinnis specifically because Swayze did not have a soft start circuit.
Well, let's move down on that page a little further, Mr. Katz.
Yes, sir.
And let's get to the final paragraph where the board says we don't need to resolve those issues. That is to say, we don't need to decide, right? Because they're persuaded that would have still been beneficial.
Right. So what the board is saying...
They're saying even if the patent owner is correct, so assume the patent owner is correct, that Swayze already prevents the rush of current, what are the additional benefits that come?
Okay. Well, first of all, Your Honor, the word additional is from my adversary, right? The board didn't say, it solves some, but they're additional. What the board is saying here, Your Honor, is that there is a big dispute as to what this thing does, this variable resistor. I don't have to resolve it because they've already admitted Swayze does not have a soft start circuit.
Your point, I think, is that Swayze doesn't have a soft start. And when they say even if the patent owner is correct on these points, it's not including the point that Swayze doesn't have a soft start. Everybody
actually,
I mean, I, that they are. The point is, even if Swayze solves the problem of the high inrush of current, it's doing it in a different way, not with a soft start, and there's benefits to having a soft start. Is that it?
Yeah. I would say it this way, that even if a surgeon might perhaps stop the inrush current occasionally, but it's, as Judge Clevenger said, it's manually to control. There's no question about that. That's not fact-finding by Your Honor. That's what Swayze says. There's no dispute on how Swayze's very well resistant.
Water reference teaches is a question of fact, not a question of law.
Yeah, it's a question of fact. Swayze says what it says. There's no dispute about how Swayze's variable resistor operates. And so the board was basically saying, okay, I hear all your arguments, but I don't have to resolve those because A, you've admitted it's not a soft start circuit, right? If it was a soft start circuit, again, there would be anticipation. So you've admitted there's no soft start circuit.
So it's the difference between an automatic control of the surge as opposed to a manual.
Exactly. So they're not saying, oh, we're finding some benefit in addition to stopping a current surge.
Well, that's why I was emphasizing the word known in Kastner.
Right, exactly. So soft start circuits were obviously well known. There are benefits to doing it if you do it properly. Now, a key to a soft start, just we're kind of using this shorthand. The soft start circuit, what it does is it stops the sudden inrush at the start and then releases it. It's critical you do both. If you can build a circuit that just stops an inrush by having a high resistance and then the motors doesn't work well, it's terrible. Right? The whole point of a soft start is you have the resistance put in briefly and then you pull it out. That's what the soft start does. That's why it's a
resistor. Well, so when you pull it out, does full juice come through?
Say that one more time.
When you pull it out, does the full power
yes.
come through
yes,
as
sir.
Opposed to a moderated power?
No, it's a short circuit at that point. In the McGinnis circuit and the circuit in the 287 patent, you have a resistor that's put in line briefly to kind of slow everything down, and then you pull it out. You bypass it with a switch. So it's as though you yank the resistor out shortly after you start the motor. That's why it's called a soft start. It's not soft all the time, and it's not a hard start. You start soft, you pull it out. And so there's a benefit to doing that. And and as they've admitted, the variable resistor, which is for the, has nothing to do with soft start, Your Honor. The variable resistor on the trigger is so I can control, do I want to staple at full power? Do I want to staple at half power?
That's the part that's admitted, right? I mean, it's not admitted that it's not a soft start. I'm sorry, I'm not explaining this well, but I think they admit that it's not a soft start, but you're going into things that the board didn't address at this point, I think. When you're characterizing now how that resistor works and how it doesn't obtain some of the advantages in Kastner.
Actually, Your Honor, no, I'm not. First of all, I'm explaining, like, it's not a soft start circuit because it has another purpose, which I'm not characterizing. I can just read the 287 patent into the record, but we also don't have to do that because we can rely on the substantial evidence in the record, which is Dr. Fisher's testimony in his supplemental declaration. So let me address you to the actual evidence because I certainly don't want anyone relying on attorney argument here. If you go to appendix at 2567, and this is a paragraph the board relies on, this is Dr. Fisher responding to their argument that the trigger somehow provides the equivalent, if you will, of a soft start. And what Dr. Fisher says in paragraph
58, reading from?
Yes, Your Honor. And what he says is the resistance is proportional to the trigger position, and there is nothing in Swayze to prevent the user from fully drawing and firing trigger 20 immediately and thus causing a high inrush of current. So it's not attorney argument. That is the evidence of record that the board properly relied on. I see my time is up. I can address any further questions the panel has. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Katz. Barris.
So just a few points. To respond to the point that counsel was just making, I direct your honors to appendix page 5023. And that's Dr. Fisher's deposition testimony.
Page?
5023. And that's Dr. Fisher's deposition testimony where he says the bias spring disclosed in Swayze might provide some force and resistance in the user's hand as they squeeze it. I think the underlying point of all of this is a factual issue the board just didn't decide. The board's decision doesn't rest on evaluating any of these things. The board's decision rests on the idea that there are additional benefits or other benefits besides preventing inrush current that would have motivated the combination. And that's not, and we have not here today, and as we said in our briefs, identified any other benefits other than those already solved by the resistor. So I think that should deal with the motivation to combine issue as the board decided it. I would just quickly like to address two other issues. Sorry, Your Honor.
No, I'm listening.
Oh, two other questions here. Your Honor, why Swayze doesn't have a soft start? It's got an electronic lockout, so there was no need. The 287 patent has a mechanical lockout, so Swayze has an electronic one. There's no need for a soft start mechanism to prevent overpowering the electric lockout. And finally, Your Honor's counsel addressed you to page 1319 as providing all the substantial evidence as necessary to show that the 287 patent was concerned about high inrush current. I would just note on that page, it's 1319 again, there's no testimony here about a high inrush current problem. The problem that is identified here is limiting the motor's ability to exert full load immediately. That's a different problem than inrush current. One can happen without the other. You can want to limit the motor's ability to exert its full load without an inrush current issue. So this snippet that counsel is relying on here just simply isn't sufficient evidence to demonstrate that the 287 patent was concerned with an inrush current problem. And the reason that's important is because that's the only thing in McGinnis that they've pointed to as pertinent to the problems the 287 patent was addressed at. Mr. Honors, have other questions? Thank you.
Any more questions? No more questions? Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The case is submitted.